So, let's move into the message for today. The title is, Should I Celebrate Christmas? Now, everybody who lives here in Munich, in Christian countries all over the world, you know that you really cannot miss Christmas. The decorations, song, like the first song that we sang today, which has really been sung for hundreds of years. It's amazing to me that these Christmas carols, they really stick. I mean, who remembers songs that were a hit 10 years ago? We forget them so quickly. But these kind of Christmas songs, they last for hundreds of years, and that's amazing to me. Everybody deals with gifts. We like receiving them. We don't like buying them. That's just the reality of Christmas. We all have that. We all went to Christmas markets this year, I'm sure, and enjoyed Glühwein and those kind of things. And of course, we have national holidays. Most people are off between Christmas and New Year and everything. So you really cannot miss Christmas, at least if you live in this country here. And even in so-called non-Christian countries, I lived in China for 12 years. Towards the end of that time, it became very Christmassy as well. So Christmas is really now a worldwide phenomenon. No matter what people think about Jesus, many, many people, around half of the world's population nowadays, celebrate Christmas. Which, of course, then leads to the question, what is it all about? And if you go on the street and you simply ask people, what is Christmas all about? I would say that 90% or more than 90% probably give you the correct answer. And they say, well, Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But not many people could then give an answer if you ask back, why? What's so special about this guy? Why is he, what did he do that 2,000 years later we still remember him all over the world? What's different, what's the difference between him and other very important historical figures? Most of my life I saw no connection between the historic person of Jesus and my own personal life. I celebrated Christmas because that's the tradition and I enjoyed it, receiving gifts and all that stuff, and I enjoyed the culture around it and everything. But I did not know, why him? Why this Jesus guy? And where is the connection? Why is he so important? Well, let me share some historic facts about this man. More books have been written about Jesus than about any other person in history. Nations have used his word as the bedrock of their government. According to Durant, the triumph of Christ was the beginning of democracy. His Sermon on the Mount established a new paradigm in ethics and morale. What he taught 2,000 years ago is now by many being used to really guide societies and guide our principles of living, what we should and what we should not do. Schools, hospitals, and humanitarian works have been founded in his name. Over 100 great universities, including Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, and Oxford, were begun by his followers and in his name. Many institutions nowadays can be traced back to Jesus himself. The elevated role of women in Western culture traces its roots back to Jesus. Women in Jesus' days were considered inferior and virtual non-persons. Until this guy came called Jesus, and he said, every life is valuable, and women are as valuable as men. And suddenly everything changed, and society has changed. And it all began with this man 2,000 years ago. Slavery was abolished in Britain and America due to Jesus' teaching that each human life is valuable. It's historically proven that that was the main argument in both cases, to abolish slavery. As Yale historian Yaroslav Pelikan said, regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure in the history of Western culture for almost 20 centuries. It is from his birth that most of the human race dates its calendars. We are in the year 2017, after Christ. It is by his name that millions curse, and in his name that millions pray. Or as another person put it, if Jesus didn't exist, one must wonder how a myth could so alter history. So these are just some historic facts that simply cannot be denied. Now there are a lot of people who are ignorant about historic facts and don't care about it and have their own opinion, but a person who genuinely does historic research has to come to the conclusion Jesus existed and he had a tremendous impact on history. He is the most influential person in history, and no serious historian could ever doubt that. But he is not only a historic person, but also today, he still changes many, many lives. I got a letter right this week from an old friend from that we know from Shanghai. We met him in our church in Shanghai, and this guy, let's just say it politely, he was a mess. As we found out then years later, he was actually a criminal. He did some horrible stuff back home. He's American. So he fled his country. He came to China to hide. And because of what he did, how he wanted to deal with it was getting into drugs. He just wanted to forget everything that was behind his old life, and he just wanted to run away. I didn't know all this at the time, but eventually that was found out. And then, a few years after he left Shanghai, he actually got caught. We loved him. We knew him from this time, but really, he was an absolute mess. But during the time that we were with him in our church in Shanghai, he actually became a Christian, and his life got completely turned around. And that's how we also became friends with him. And he shared a few things of his life in prison right now. He said, one of the things he wrote in this letter, he said, "Often guards ask me, how are you doing? And his response is, I am blessed. He said, I'm not really charged correctly at all, but I believe it's God's will. Despite the fact that he's in prison now, charged unfairly, he has total peace about it. He said in one sentence, most importantly, God saved my life. Remember, he's in prison right now. And he can say, the most important thing is, God saved my life. He said, I'm free now. Isn't that ironic? He's in prison, and he says, for the first time in my life, I'm free. And then he said, perhaps God can use me here to bring a light into a place that is dark for many lost souls. He sees a purpose for being in prison, and he now is there wanting to tell other people about what difference Jesus has made in his life, and he wants other people to experience the same. He is in the worst possible situation that you could imagine. Being in prison, being there for at least another 10 years or something like this, yet, receiving his letter, he was full of joy, full of gratitude, full of love, and full of care for the people around him. A total transformation from the guy that we originally met when he was a drug addict and just a total mess. And by his own admission, he said, I could die any day because of the way I'm using my drugs. I don't know if I will survive tomorrow. And now his life got completely turned around. Just getting that letter made it totally worth it, knowing that we played a small part in him finding that kind of life. That just made it all worth it. And I'm like, if that's what we did in Shanghai, if that's the only thing that we ever did in 12 years in Shanghai, it was worth all that time and all the effort that we spent there in that church. It's an absolute amazing testimony that he has. Jesus is not just a historic person. He still changes lives today. So obviously, he had a huge impact on history and on people today. But the question remains, who was he? Not so much about what he did or what he does, but about his identity. Well, to put it quick and simple, Jesus claimed to be a God. He claimed to be a human being, but he also claimed to be God himself. John 10:30, he said, I and my Father, meaning God, are one. He put himself, his own identity, together with God's identity. Mark 14, Jesus said, but he held his peace, Jesus, and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? In other words, they were asking him, are you God? Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Jesus, throughout his life, claimed to be God. The people who heard him understood his claims. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because that you, being a man, make yourself God." They knew what he claimed. John 19, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" They fully understood what Jesus was claiming. They didn't agree with him, and they thought that he was just an imposter or he was just lying about himself or whatever. They didn't agree with him, but they fully understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, "I am God." His followers also understand his claim. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." John 20, one of his disciples who then wrote a letter, he wrote a book about Jesus and about his life. He said this, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So Jesus claimed to be God. Those who opposed him understood that he claimed to be God. Those who followed him understood that he claimed to be God. It's very clear when you look at historic evidence, inside and outside the Bible, that Jesus believed that he was God himself. His other claims are then a consequence of his main claim. Jesus claimed to be perfect. He said, "Everything I do, everything I say, absolutely everything is absolutely perfect." He said, "I never did anything wrong." That was his claim. Of course, if you claim to be God, that kind of follows that claim. Jesus claimed to be the absolute truth. He claimed to say, "Everything I say is true. I never lie. I never deceive. I never get anything wrong. I never accidentally say anything that I shouldn't have said or in an unclear way." He claimed, "Everything I say is absolutely true." Jesus claimed absolute authority. He claimed, "I'm the ruler of this world, and whatever I want to happen in this world is going to happen. And whatever I don't want to happen in this world, it's not going to happen." He claimed absolute authority. Jesus also claims to be alive today. He claims that he will live forever after he died on the cross and after he rose again from the dead. He said, "I will live forever." And in consequence, that means Jesus claims to be alive today in heaven and with us. Like I said, it kind of makes sense. If Jesus claims to be God, then that kind of follows along. And two more things he claimed. Jesus claims to come back to this earth one day. Jesus claims that one day he will come back, and then he will destroy the earth that we know like this, and instead, he will establish a perfect world. He will establish heaven on earth, and everything will be perfect. No more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more sickness. Everything will be perfect. And Jesus also claimed that he will determine every single person's eternal destiny. He claimed that he will decide whether every single person who ever lived on this earth will spend eternity in heaven with him or in hell without him. That was his claim. That's what he taught people, and that's what he told people 2,000 years ago in the nation of Israel. What did he offer to the people? First of all, he offered forgiveness. All of us struggle with guilt and shame, don't we? We have stuff in our lives we know we shouldn't do. We do it anyways, and we feel guilty for it. I do, and if we're honest, all of us would have to make that admission. Jesus claimed that he can take that he can offer us forgiveness, and he can cover that guilt and shame that we all have in our lives, and he can replace it with forgiveness and with joy and peace. Next, he offered eternal life. Like I said, one day he will come back, create a perfect world, and he told us that we can be there with him. He will create this perfect place, and we can live there forever with him. But we have a choice. We have to follow him in this life. He offered eternal life. He offered hope. If we have eternal life, if we have the hope of eternal life, then, of course, this life will look very different. Troubles in this life, difficulties in this life, will look very different if we can say, "You know, I'll only be here temporarily. And 50 years from now, maybe 100 years from now, whenever time comes to an end on this world, I'll be in heaven, and then everything will be perfect, and then I'll be there forever. If we have that kind of hope, then we look at this life in a very different light. And I think that's exactly what my friend who is in prison now, what he is doing right now. He is in a difficult spot, but he has such a hope that he will not just come out of prison in 10 years, but he has such a hope that he will go to heaven with Jesus one day. And that's why he can be so joyful and so peaceful in the midst of such a terrible situation that he's in. Jesus offered fulfillment, meaning, and purpose. Let's be honest. This life doesn't satisfy. It doesn't matter how much money you have. We never have enough. The richest people in this world are sometimes the saddest and the ones who are most desperate for more money. Family is great. Family relationships, marriage, parent relationship, having children, all that is wonderful. But those things will never completely satisfy. And there will be days when we just, I don't want to say hate, but when we are just really frustrated with the people we love the most. It won't really satisfy. It's great to have fun, whatever fun is, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it just doesn't last. An hour later, a day later, a week later, suddenly we feel empty again. This life just doesn't fulfill. But Jesus claimed he can. And I know from personal experience he does. He offers us deliverance and freedom. All of us are addicted to stuff that we know isn't good, right? For some people it's very obvious, can be alcohol and drugs and those kind of things. For some people it's maybe bad language, bad habits, pornography, things that nobody else knows. But we know they are there. And we want to get rid of them. And we just don't know how. Jesus said he can deliver us from all this stuff. And he only gives us stuff that is really good for us. And he didn't just offer it to some people. He didn't just say 2,000 years ago, well, for some people, I will offer all of this. His claim was, I'll offer this to anybody who wants it. Anybody who comes to me and says, I need help in my life. I want help. I need to be changed. There's stuff in my life that I want to get rid of, and I don't know how. Jesus said, I'll be there for you, and I can take all that stuff away. So in summary, basically, if you just look at all these things, what he offered us was a relationship. What he offered us was to go through life with us, speak to us, guide us, direct us, listen to us, having conversations with one another, and him leading us to the kind of life that deep down we always want to have. Many people can testify of how their lives have changed once they started to follow Jesus. I just gave you one example of that friend of mine. A little bit about myself. Before I was a Christian, I became a Christian at age 25. I just felt empty. And I just always looked for something else in my life. Lived with my parents, felt unsatisfied, then moved out, moved to Karlsruhe to study, had fun for a while. After 2 months, I felt totally empty again. Did all kinds of stupid stuff, of course, student life, did a lot of parties, thought fulfillment is there, was great for a while, just to find out after a few months again, it doesn't really satisfy. The emptiness came back. Looking into relationships, looking into sex and all these things, felt great for a while, just after a while that the emptiness came back. Eventually I turned to anger, being angry with everybody who disappointed me, being angry with my parents, being angry with everybody and everything. Became a very bitter person, became a very nasty person, but I still felt as empty as I felt before. Eventually I was desperate enough to really look into Jesus, and to look into his claim. And suddenly my life completely turned around. All those things that I was angry about before and that I was disappointed about suddenly didn't matter anymore. I was so fulfilled. I was so much in peace. I had so much joy in Jesus that I was able to forgive others, no matter how hard they wronged me. And I suddenly was able to say, you know, Jesus takes care of me. My bitterness turned into joy. And it turned into peace. I dedicated the rest of my life to say, I want to just, not out of duty, but out of gratitude, I just want to follow him because of what he has done for me, because of how he has changed my life. And all these other things, like having a family, having money, and all these things, they are nice, but they are a byproduct. They don't matter in the end. What matters is Jesus himself. My life completely changed once I let him in, because I received forgiveness, I received hope and eternal life, I received fulfillment, meaning and purpose, and I received deliverance, and I received freedom from Jesus. That's what he did to people, and that's what he offers to do to every single person today. So we know what Jesus claimed. Jesus claimed to be God. And if we think about it logically, there are only two extremes. One is, if Jesus was wrong about a single thing that he said, his complete claim falls apart. There's one thing about Jesus that isn't true. One thing he said that isn't true. Then he wasn't perfect. If he wasn't perfect, he is not God. And if he is not God, we can question anything that he ever said. And Christianity as a whole simply falls apart. That's one possibility. The consequence would be, yeah, maybe he accidentally had some positive impact on people and a big historic impact, but in the end, he was totally wrong about himself, he was totally wrong about his own identity, and billions of people today, including myself, are wasting their lives, believing in something that simply isn't true. If that's the case, he is dead today, and he's nothing more than a very influential historic person. That's one possibility. The other possibility is everything Jesus said is true. And if it is true, then he will judge you and me. Then he will decide whether you and I go to heaven or to hell. Then every single person, including you and me, will one day see him face to face. And then he will decide whether we go to heaven or to hell from that day onwards. There's really nothing in between these two extremes. If Jesus isn't God, millions of people have died in a hope that wasn't true. So many people throughout history, and including today, in today's time, are giving up their lives. They're being martyred. They're being killed because they are not willing to say, I deny Jesus. And they do that all in vain because Jesus doesn't save them. Millions of people are being persecuted today for nothing. Millions of people today are wasting their lives trusting in something that will never happen, that Jesus will take them to heaven. Let's face it. If that's the case, Jesus would be the greatest deceiver in the world's history. If Jesus is not God, then he was a terrible person. Then he's probably on the same level or even worse than someone like Hitler. Hitler and World War II, around 80 million people died. If Jesus is not God, he deceived way more than 80 million people. And way more than 80 million people died for nothing. That's just reality. And then he is a really, really evil person. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, if he is who he says he is, then he gives us hope. And then he wants to change our lives today. Then he gives us hope that he will take us to heaven one day, and that he will give us eternal life. Then he offers us forgiveness for the things we did wrong, and he offers to take away the guilt and shame that we all have. Then he offers us freedom, the kind of stuff that we are trapped in, the bad habits and the kind of things that we don't like about ourselves. He offers to take that all away, and he offers to transform our lives, like he did for me, like he did for my friend, and like he did for so many other people. Like I said, if Jesus is not who he says he is, then he is probably worse than Hitler. We should probably have nothing to do with him. But if he is who he says he is, then he is the only hope we have for eternal life. There's really nothing in between. Jesus cannot be a great religious teacher. Many people think of him as a great religious teacher, someone who had a lot of great influence on people, but still, he's just a human being. I don't think that can be true. Because if he is not God, then he has been deceiving people 2,000 years ago, and he is still deceiving millions of people today. And many people who are persecuted or even die for their faith do that in vain. That's not the works of a great religious teacher. Jesus cannot be a great religious teacher. He cannot be for some people or some cultures. His claim was, I'm for everyone. I'm God over the whole world. And so that means either he is God for everyone or he is God for nobody. There cannot be anything in between. And also something that many people get offended by, unfortunately, Jesus made Christianity incompatible with other religions. Jesus said, I'm perfect. Everything I say is true. And he said, I'm the only way to eternal life. I'm the only way to the Father. So if he was right about that, then any other religion must be wrong. Buddhism, Islam, any other belief system without Jesus must be wrong. But if he was wrong about that, then he is not God, and then Christianity isn't right. By claiming that to be God and claiming to be the only way to the Father, he made Christianity absolutely incompatible with other religions. And there is no third way. Either he is God or he is not. So there are really only two options. Either Jesus is God, or Jesus is one of, if not the worst person who has ever lived on this earth. There's really nothing in between. So let's bring it back to my original question. What does all of that have to do with Christmas? Well, let me ask you another question. Let's say Christmas is the same thing. All the traditions that we have, all the nice things, all the decorations, the Christmas markets, and all these nice things that we enjoy. But it's not about Jesus. It's about Hitler. Would you participate in that? I wouldn't. I couldn't. Because everything that that man stands for, I hate. And no matter how much nice cultural stuff there is, and no matter how much nice things there are to enjoy, gifts and culture and decorations and holidays, I would just have to say, I don't want to have anything to do with that guy. And if this celebration is about him, I cannot enjoy the nice things about it. I have to stay away from it. But I believe that's what many people today are doing. And I have to admit, I did that for most of my life. I enjoyed the cultural stuff. I enjoyed the nice things. I enjoyed the gifts and the holidays and family gatherings and all these nice things. But I never looked at what Christmas is truly all about. And I think that's irresponsible. I think we should not and we cannot separate Christmas from Jesus. Those two things go hand in hand. So how should we respond to Jesus' claim? Well, I believe there are some illegitimate responses. Some people say, well, Jesus is not important. I think that's not, we cannot do that. Because if he decides whether you and I spend eternity in heaven or hell, that's kind of important. And so I don't think we should just brush it off as, well, it's not that big of a deal. Some people say it's impossible to know. I don't agree with that. Most people don't know because they simply never took the time to investigate. Most people, they just use that as an excuse because they don't want to look at the facts. There's so much evidence about Jesus out there. And I think there can be a lot of things can be known about Jesus, even outside the Bible, even outside the church. There's a lot to learn about this man. And there's a lot to know about him. Some people say, well, I'll do it later. I'm busy right now. I'll do it in a year. I'll do it in 5 years. I'll do it in 10 years. Well, again, that goes along with it's not important. How do you know if you'll reach there? A friend of mine in Shanghai, that I met him one time, kind of enjoyed talking to him. Next thing I knew was a couple of weeks later that he got hit by a bus and he died. if Jesus really decides our eternal destination, heaven or hell, we can't really delay that. It's just too important. And we need to deal with it now because we don't know whether we get a chance again to really deal with that. So I believe these are illegitimate responses. I believe there are three legitimate responses to his claims. Either to believe, to choose to not believe, or to admit, I don't know, but I want to find out. If we believe, and I'm speaking to myself here, I want to encourage all of us, let's live it out. Let's truly make Christmas about Jesus. There's so much distraction going on, and it's not bad in itself. I mean, nothing wrong with Christmas markets and gifts and all these things, but let's be honest. Too often it just distracts us. And too often it just brings us to a point where we just kind of rush by Jesus and just get so obsessed with all the cultural stuff that we don't really spend time with him, and we don't really look at him, and we don't really worship him, and we don't really praise him for what Christmas truly stands for. It's my tendency too. I'm falling in this trap too. I'm not looking down on anyone. But if you today say, I do believe that Christmas is about Jesus, and I do believe that Jesus is God, I want to encourage all of us, let's live it out. And let's truly live the way that confirms what we say we believe. This season should be about worship. This season should be about spending time with Jesus. This season should be about getting to know him more. And this season should be about marveling at the incredible fact that Jesus is God and he chose to live on this world for us. And nothing else. These other things are a nice byproduct and we can enjoy them, but they should never distract us. Because if they do, it's an idol. And the Bible has very strong words about idols. That's if we believe. Some of us might say, well, I'm not sure. If that's you, I really want to encourage you, then investigate. Read a Bible. Read a New Testament. Read what Jesus was all about. Like I said earlier, if you don't have one, you can take one home. Come to church. Doesn't have to be us. You're welcome to join us, but not everybody feels comfortable in an English-speaking church. Some people might say, oh, it's a bit small here. I feel more comfortable in a bigger church. Doesn't matter. But come to a church and hear more about the claims of this man. Do some historic research. Read some books about him, not from the Bible, not necessarily religious. Of course you can, but just some historic research on this man. And it's amazing what's available to find out about him. Read some books, Christian books, about him and about what other people believe about him and all these things. My point being, find out for yourself. Don't just follow me because of what I say. Investigate. Find some information about this man and come to your own conclusion. Most people, they have half-truths about Jesus. They hear rumors about Jesus. They know something about people who call themselves Christians, but they never look at Jesus himself. If that's where you are at today, I really want to encourage you. Just look at the facts and then find out and come to your own conclusion who this man truly is. Most people have an opinion about Jesus, but most people don't really know what he claimed and what evidence is out there about him. And I think that's sad. Look at the facts and then come to your own conclusion. Third category, if you don't believe, I would really recommend then be consequent. I don't think then we should celebrate Christmas at all. Like I said, I could not participate in this kind of celebration if it was about an evil person like Hitler. And I think if our conclusion is I don't believe that he is God, then we should really be consequent and say, then I don't want to have anything to do with Christmas. Then I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I don't want to have anything to do with the church. And I really shouldn't bother about this person any longer and stay away from anything that he's saying or anything that has anything to do with him, or anyone who has anything to do with him. I think if we have made up our mind about Jesus one way or the other, we should be consequent, and truly live it out. In the end, it's a personal choice. No one can force us to believe. No one can force us to disbelieve. Unfortunately, I have to admit, Christians sometimes did not do too well throughout church history. And there were times when Christians tried to force other people to believe and use violence so that other people would believe in all these things. That's wrong. Jesus never did that. Jesus never taught that. It's a personal choice. Everyone has the freedom to choose to believe or to not believe in Jesus. But at the same time, we have to be aware, not everybody can be right. It's impossible that Jesus is for some people, or Jesus is for me, and for you it's something else or someone else. That's just impossible. We have the freedom to choose, but in the end, either Jesus is God or Jesus is not God. And it cannot be that both sides are right. There will come a day, one day, we don't know when, could be tomorrow, could be in 100 years, when all of us will die. And then we'll know. If I'm right, I'll go to heaven. And if I'm right, everybody who doesn't believe in him will go to hell. If I'm wrong, and Jesus is not God, then I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know what's waiting after this life. But what I do know is that I'm wasting my life. Everything that I believe in, everything that I'm pursuing, everything that I'm working for, my whole life is based on a lie. And if I still exist after this life, then I will be very, very disappointed, because I will realize that I wasted my whole life on this earth. That's the only two conclusions, that the only two outcomes we have. It's a personal choice, but in the end, we will all find out when this life comes to an end whether we were right. So coming back to my original question, should I celebrate Christmas? I believe it's the wrong question. I believe the right question is, who do I think Jesus is? And then we deal with the topic of Christmas in light of who we think Jesus is. I believe we should make our choice. We should investigate. We should look at the claims. We should look at the facts. And then live it out one way or the other. And if we are unsure today, if we don't know what to believe about this man, if we just simply don't know, maybe not have enough information or never investigated enough, my suggestion is, then find out. Like I said, there are many ways of doing that. You're always welcome to come back here and continue learning about what Christians believe in, about him. You're always welcome to take a Bible home. Of course, it doesn't have to be us. You can also talk with other Christians, go to other churches, all these things. But I really want to encourage you, do something. Don't just leave here wondering like, okay, so I'll do it later. Do something. Take a step. Make a commitment today and say, I'm going to figure this out. And this is how I'm going to do it. I really hope we won't just forget about it after today. And I also want to say, if you think after today, if you want to know more, if you think after this message, maybe because of the testimonies or something, I really believe that Jesus is God. Yesterday I didn't, but now I do. I really want to encourage you. Talk with me or talk with my wife or talk with someone today, maybe with someone you already know who is a Christian, and talk with him or her about what it means to be a Christian. Because it's a community thing, it's not just a personal, it is a personal choice in the first place, but if we choose to believe in him, it's really a community thing. That's what this church is all about, that we encourage each other in our faith, we pray with each other, we answer each other's questions, we learn together, we study the Bible together, all these things. And so, if that is where you're at today, I really want to encourage you, let someone know and make sure you find community that someone else can help you in your newfound faith as well. So, with all that being said, Let's ask the right question. Who do we think Jesus is? May we pray. Father, we're just so grateful. Thank you that you didn't leave us without a clue. You didn't leave us with no evidence. But Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here with us, who speaks to us, who changes us, who convicts us. Thank you for the wonderful historic evidence that is available about you. And of course, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the Bible. There are so many treasures and so many wonderful things, Lord, that we can discover in your word. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you, Lord, that you do ask us to take a step of faith. But you never ask us to just step out into the total unknown, but you take us by the hand step by step. So Lord, we pray that you will help us today to really make a commitment to know you more. If we are here, Lord, today, and we have already committed our lives to you, Lord, we pray that you will help us to really live it out, especially in this season. Help us to come to you. Help us to make time for you. Help us to shut out all those distractions that are going on out there. And help us to really gaze upon you, gaze upon your love, and gaze upon this amazing miracle that you came into this world to give us life. And Lord, if we're here and we are unsure, we pray that you will help us to answer the questions that we have. Whatever we need, wherever we are, whatever is holding us back, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will help us to push that aside, to overcome any kind of obstacles, and to truly, Lord, experience your joy, to experience your peace, and to experience your presence. And to truly, Lord, know, not just in our heads, but know in our hearts, Lord, how much you love us, and how much you sacrifice, Lord, to have eternal life with us. So, Lord, we thank you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name.